Hello and welcome. My name is Brother Robert Reynolds. Thank you so very much for being with me today to hear this this message that I have here, and I pray that it is a blessing to you. All right. So what I'm going to do today is I am going to preach a little bit on a call to courage. All right, a call to courage. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Excuse me, and let's read let's read verses 6 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 6 to 12. All right, starting in verse 6, the King James Bible says this: "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." All right, so before I get started with this preaching, let me give you a little background about the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy. All right, the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy are called the pastoral epistles. They are part of the post-Acts period letters of Paul, or the prison epistles. Paul wrote these when he was in prison, and he was soon beheaded after these writings. The Apostle Paul wrote these two letters to Timothy, his son in the faith, whom he left at Ephesus to be overseer of the work there. The theme of 2 Timothy, where we are at, may be taken from chapter 2, verse 3. A good soldier of Christ. All right. So in verses 8 to 12, Paul is calling on Timothy to be a good soldier of Christ and courageous. All right. So let's go ahead and let's entitle this message today, A Call to Courage. Okay, a call to courage. Many Christians today, they profess that they love the Lord and they are not ashamed of his testimony. But yet, when they get into a little bit of persecution, they want to cower instead of being strong in Christ. Now, I myself have been included in that. I do not exclude myself from that at all. All right, so number one here, stir up the gift of God that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So here, Timothy is reminded to stir up the gift of God that is in him. In other words, he is saying, use that gift and do not be afraid to. Alright, Timothy is being reminded here that the ministry must continue fearlessly. This gift that the Apostle Paul was talking about could have been any one of the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 5-8. Now, with the gifts, they are divided. They're divided into two categories. You have the sign gifts. All right, these sign gifts, signs, remember, are for the Jew. All right, so these sign gifts are apostleship, prophecy, miracles, healing, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The sign gifts are no longer in use today. They are finished. And then you have the stationary gifts. These are still in use today. And they include teaching, helps, which is ministering, administration, evangelism, pastor, teacher, exhortation, giving, showing of mercy, and faith. So whatever gift that you have, that the Lord gave you, at the moment of your salvation, don't ever be afraid to use that gift. Why? It is because we have the Spirit of power. All right, look at Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. See that? Let's be bold in the Lord. Amen. Now, where we lack in this power, we are to ask in prayer. All right, ask for prayer, like Paul did in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Let's go there. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Let's see. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And then verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. All right, so not only do we have the Spirit of power, but we have the Spirit of love. We can love God and His Word, even though there are others who do not and will attack God's Word and us. They will yell at us. They will spit in our faces. They will mock us, ridicule us, and make fun of us. We can love the lost because we know their condition. And we can love heavenly things by putting our affection on things above. So we have the spirit of power, we have the spirit of love, and we have a sound mind. We have this sound mind because we have the true, infallible, without error, preserved, and inspired Word of God, the King James Bible, in English. Those who come up with the perversions of God's Word, their sound minds that God gave them, left them. The perversions are the product of losing that sound mind. Alright? Now, number two, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What does ashamed mean? Ashamed means confused by a consciousness of guilt or inferiority, by the mortification of pride, by failure or disappointment. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed. All right, look at Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. And let's start in 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of Christ, was not ashamed of the gospel, and neither should we. We should not be ashamed. You know, The Apostle Paul was beaten, he was stoned, and left for dead, shipwrecked. Go to Acts 20. Acts 20. And let's read verses 22 to 24. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. So just remember all of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. You know, and he was not ashamed of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for that. So let's not be ashamed. All right. Those who believe on Christ should not be ashamed. Romans 10:11. Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So I will ask you today, do you believe? Do you believe on Christ? Are you ashamed of Him? Let's not be ashamed. You believe on Christ and His Word? Let's take a stand for Him and His Word. What will that do to the testimony of Christ and your testimony as a Christian if we would take a stand for the Lord and His Word? It may mean that someone will see that Christ is real and that He is not a joke like a lot of people think. And they just might even put their faith and trust in Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for their salvation. Let's take a stand for the Lord. Let's love Him and His Word, and let's not be ashamed. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. Many afflictions and trials and persecutions will come our way. You know, a lot of people think that now that I'm saved, that my life is going to be good. My life is going to be easy. There's going to be no more trouble. But the truth of the matter is, at the moment of salvation, the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, that's the moment that your troubles begin. First Peter 4:16 says, "Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let them not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Look at Acts 5. Acts 5, 38 to 42. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now, pay attention to this here, starting in verse 41. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." You suffer persecution because of the Lord Jesus Christ? Rejoice. Rejoice in it. Amen. Let you and I be like the Apostle Peter and others and rejoice in afflictions and sufferings. Let you and I be like the Apostle Paul when he says, "But none of these things move me." Why? So that we can finish our course with joy. Get rid of the animosity that you may have towards someone that has hurt you, so that you can finish your course with joy. Amen. Now, think of joy. You want real joy? Think of joy as an acronym. The J stands for Jesus first. The O stands for others next. And then the Y stands for yourself last. That is real joy. Amen. Finish your course with joy. Then, be courageous, because God called us with an holy calling. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, let me just say here that ministry, no matter whether it is being a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a piano player, a deacon, whatever the case may be, dealing with ministry, remember this, that ministry is not a job. Ministry is a calling from God. And it is not because of our works that God calls us. He calls us for his own purpose and grace. The Lord calls somebody into ministry, and someone comes along and says, "No, I don't believe. That person can't be in ministry. You know, they're too weak in the faith. You know, they don't have a clue what they're doing." But you know what? That calling is between them and God. Amen. God calls people for his own purpose. He has a purpose for that person that he called. We need to pray for people in ministry. We need to pray for preachers and pastors, evangelists. Pray for them. Ask the Lord to guide them and be with them and help them. Amen. So God has a purpose for calling someone into ministry. All right, look at our text verses, 2 Timothy 1, 9. Let's read that again. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now go to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that verse there does not say that a few things will work for good. Some things will work for good. That verse says all things work for good. All things. Whether it be good, whether it be bad. All works for the good. So God can take something bad and use it for the good. Amen. An example of that would be this. There was a Christian family in India. They were the first Christian family in their town, in their city. The people there, they would say to this family, "The gods are going to get you. The gods are going to get you for what you did, for what you did by becoming a Christian. The gods are going to get you." And you know what happened? Their son got sick. The people go back to the family and they say, We told you the gods were going to get you. So the family goes to their pastor. And they pray for the kid. The pastor prays for the kid. But what happens? The kid eventually dies. And people say, "The gods got you, the gods got you." But now listen to this. In that town, they had the very first Christian funeral. Many came to that funeral, and many heard the gospel of the grace of God, and many got saved. Amen. So God can use the bad for the good. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. Amen. God has a purpose. Now, you say, "God will never use me. I am too low on the totem pole. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared. I don't know." But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read verses 26 to 31. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And in verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. So God calls those that are the base things of this world, the bottom, the base. Not many that are way up here and mighty and noble are called. Because a lot of them will steal God's glory from him. A lot of the rich people, their money is their God. Let you and I be meek and lowly. Amen. And then be courageous, because Christ abolished death. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death is the end of physical life. It also could be spiritual death as well. Death is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, in good health or bad. Each and every one of us are just one heartbeat away from death. Your next breath is no guarantee. Each of us could just be one heartbeat away. Amen. But now, should we as Christians fear death? The answer is no, we should not. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Christ, he suffered a cruel, horrible death on that cross. He shed every precious drop of his blood. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Because Christ defeated death, and because we are in Christ, we will rise also one day. Amen. We will rise one day. Now, look at Ephesians 1. I'll show you something there. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verses 19 to 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that same power that rose Christ from the dead, that same power is in each and every believer. That same power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us one day. So let's be courageous. Amen. Be steadfast in the faith. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor will not be in vain. Amen. Let's keep going for the Lord. Let's be courageous and let's keep going for the Lord. Let's trust the Lord in everything that we go through. God has a purpose for it. And then lastly, be courageous because you know whom you have believed. 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, many Christians, that they will go into a church service and they will sing, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King," right? But when they're all alone, nobody's watching, they'll start going through trials, tribulations, and they will say, "Oh, woe is me, woe is me. Why am I going through this? Why are you doing to me? Why are you doing this to me, God? Why?" But yet, in church services, they sing, "Standing on the promises of Christ, my King." You know, one of the promises, and the Lord cannot and will not ever, ever break a promise. He cannot and will not ever lie. And one of the promises that he made to you and me is that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Everything that we go through, the Lord is right there with us. We go through a trial, the Lord is right there with us. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They would not bow to the image. So they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And that fiery furnace was turned up 7 times higher. The king opened up that door of the furnace. And he not only saw 3 people. He saw four. Christ was in that fire with them. And they came out of that fire unsinged, unburned. The Lord was with them. The Lord lives inside each and every believer. He is with us everywhere that we go. He goes through everything that we go through with us. He has a purpose for allowing us to go through those things. Amen. So, you start going through trials and tribulations. Don't cower. Don't stop serving the Lord. Keep going for the Lord. Be courageous and trust Him. Trust the Lord. He knows. He knows everything. He knows what we go through. And when it comes to those trials, please do not ever ask the Lord to take that trial away from you. You know why? Because if you ask the Lord to take that trial away from you, and He does, then you will never learn the lesson that the Lord wanted you to learn from that trial. So just allow the Lord to take you through that trial from start to finish. Let Him take you through it, and He will see you through. I said this earlier and I'll say it again. God cannot and will not ever lie, and He'll never break a promise. Amen. So let's be courageous in the Lord. Let's take a stand for the Lord and His word. Amen. Preach. Preach God's word. Amen. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for them, for you. Never give up and never quit. I know that the Christian life is not an easy life. It's hard. It's a hard life. But you know what? One of these days, the Lord is going to come into those clouds, and He's going to call us all who are saved home by name. And all these trials and tribulations that we go through here, it'll all be over and done with, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So everything that we go through on this earth, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus face to face. And we will be like Him. Amen. Amen. All right, so I will go ahead and I will stop there. I thank you so very much for being with me. Thank you for your prayers for me and my family, for the ministry that He has entrusted us with, and also please pray for Bible Faith Baptist Church in Cuenca, Batangas, that the church will continue to grow in grace. And that the Lord will use them mightily for His glory. All right, so thank you so very much. Until next time, God bless you.